Coming up on KUCB News, the state has charged two Unalaska teens with unspecified crimes, and a federal push for aquaculture could threaten Alaska's ban on fish farms. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, September 10th, 2018. The state has filed charges against two Unalaska teenagers who allegedly threatened another teen with a handgun this July. That's likely all the information Unalaskans will get about the case unless it moves to the adult court system. The rest of the details remain confidential under Alaska law. Officials say they can't release the names of the minors or the charges against them, citing confidentiality policies that govern the State Division of Juvenile Justice.
It can be a mystifying black box for the public.
Matt Davidson works at the division's headquarters in Juneau, and he says communities often want more information when it comes to kids and public safety. While that's understandable, he says, Alaska law protects the privacy of juvenile delinquency records for a reason.
Children who commit criminal acts should have an opportunity to repair the harm they've done without a criminal conviction being on their permanent public record. And so keeping them privileged, that protects the youth from having something that they did as a 12-year-old, for example, follow them throughout their whole life.
With that mission in mind, Davidson says most cases result in probation. Judges work with families, schools, and social service providers to create plans aimed at addressing the needs of young offenders and preventing future crimes.
Generally, there aren't a lot of jury trials, but they can happen.
Trials are reserved for serious offenses. In some cases, kids can end up in juvenile detention until they're 19. Even more rarely, Davidson says some offenders are tried as adults, usually if they commit serious crimes past the age of 16.
And those are crimes like murder, first-degree assault, and arson in the first degree.
He says cases moved to the adult system do become public. For now, though, it's unclear where the Unalaska case fits on the spectrum of offenses or how long it'll take to move through the juvenile justice process. Acting Police Chief Jennifer Shockley described the incident as disturbing, but says the accused teenagers are currently out of custody on unspecified conditions of release. School officials previously announced that the teens had been placed on homebound instruction and were completing schoolwork from home. But Superintendent John Conwell says he can't comment further because student records are private under federal law. He says the earlier information was only released as an emergency exception to alleviate community fears of a threat against the school. A nationwide radio program is hosting a live call-in show tomorrow all about Attu Island. The episode of Native America Calling will explore the Aleutian campaign of World War II, the Attuans' captivity in Japan, and recent efforts by Attu descendants to reconnect with their ancestral homelands. The program will feature three descendants, including Atka Mayor Crystal Dushkin, as well as KUCB's own Zoe Sobel, who reported on a special return trip to the island last summer. Tune into KUCB tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting the show live here on 89.7 FM. The United States has a seafood trade deficit, and the Trump administration's answer is to promote aquaculture in federal waters. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, that idea is alarming some Alaskans who see it as a threat to the state's long-standing ban on fish farms.
NOAA Fisheries Chief Chris Oliver told a room full of fishermen, seafood marketing executives, and marine scientists in Juneau that wild seafood harvests alone can't keep up with rising global demand. But there's another way.
Aquaculture is going to be where the major increases in seafood production occur, whether it happens in foreign countries or in United States waters.
Aquaculture is a broad term. it's farming in the sea. That could be shellfish like oysters or seaweed, which Alaska permits. But it also includes fish farms, which Alaska does not. The nation's federal waters are vast. They begin 3 miles offshore and extend 200 nautical miles. There isn't any aquaculture in federal waters, yet. But U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce Timothy Gallaudet said during a Juneau visit that streamlining regulations could help change that.
As we look toward the ocean to continue to support human society, aquaculture is going to be a growing factor.
There's a bill pending in the U.S. Senate that could decide how federal aquaculture is regulated. It's being backed by an industry group called Stronger America Through Seafood. Campaign manager Margaret Henderson said Alaska's ability to ban offshore fish farms remains a sticking point on Capitol Hill.
We in no way mean to impede a state's authority to manage their own waters, but when it comes to managing federal waters outside of state lines, we think that there's a balance to be had there, that there's room for both.
The state is well aware that its ban on offshore fin fish farming is at stake. Sam Raybung heads the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Aquaculture Division.
I think it's safe to say that we're going to fight pretty hard to maintain that state's opt-out option and maintain the ability to prohibit finfish farming off of Alaska.
There are two main arguments against finfish farming. One is environmental. Farmed fish can escape, like what happened last year in Washington State, when hundreds of thousands of Atlantic salmon broke free from their pen and traveled miles up rivers in the Pacific Northwest. But the other argument is basic economics.
If you increase supply prior to increasing demand or without the effort to increase demand, your prices drop.
Julie Decker heads the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. She recalled how in the 1980s, Alaska was the largest salmon producer. That changed when cheap farm salmon entered the market.
The end of the salmon story at this stage is that, you know, there's millions more people eating salmon than they were, you know, back in 1980. But it was a very painful adjustment period.
Federal commerce officials heard about that from Werner Wilson III. He grew up on Bristol Bay, but now works for Friends of the Earth in Seattle.
The flooding of farmed salmon in the 1990s created so much hurt and pain for my family and Alaska salmon fishermen throughout the state, from Bristol Bay right here to Juneau.
Gallaudet said offshore fish farms wouldn't be imposed on Alaska. In his pitch for aquaculture, he alluded to the elephant in the room, climate change.
Some of the changes in the environment are affecting fish stocks. They're either moving or they're not thriving, some. And so this aquaculture, and done the right way, so scientifically based, provides a means for employment of fishermen who are losing some of their gain through these changing conditions.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office says she hasn't taken a position on the aquaculture bill. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan's office said he supports Alaska's right to opt out, and he wouldn't support anything that, quote, negatively impacts Alaska's robust seafood industry. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
State troopers have released their most recent data on illegal drugs trafficking through Alaska. The annual report suggests that the state is dealing with a 1-2 punch of growing demand amid declining resources for police and substance abuse treatment. And as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, troopers are looking to partnerships with other law enforcement agencies as a strategy for filling in those gaps.
Well, welcome, everybody.
At a press conference in Anchorage, Captain Michael Duxbury summarized the 2017 drug report's key conclusions.
The problem is getting worse, that there are correlations with the increase in crime, and the lethality of the problem is increasing.
To either side of the podium were charts of drug trends, as well as pictures of heroin and the powerful synthetic opioid fentanyl. Duxbury says that in his nearly three decades with the troopers, the volume of hard drugs that law enforcement is seizing is unprecedented. From 2016 to 17, the amount of heroin intercepted by police doubled, and those seizures represent only a small sample of drugs in the state. Officials are increasingly using the term polydrug use to describe people who are regularly consuming multiple mood-altering substances. Though the governor's administration issued a disaster declaration over the opioid epidemic, Duxbury points out there was also a five-fold increase in the amount of methamphetamine seized this last year.
Although it's an opioid crisis, the opioid in the state of Alaska is the conduit for talking about the polydrug use problem that we have.
The Department of Public Safety is having problems of its own. As of August, about an eighth of the budgeted trooper positions are vacant. Financial cuts have limited travel to investigate cases, particularly in rural areas, and there are fewer state prosecutors to even try cases. In response, the troopers have ramped up their collaborations with other federal, state, and local partners. That means other law enforcement agencies, but also civilian and private sector entities in places where most drugs enter communities.
It is happening in the airports. It is happening in the ports that are bringing it to Alaska. And it happens also in the mail. And that is one of the reasons why one of our federal partners is the USPS.
In spite of expanding problems with hard drugs, the troopers note that for Alaskans, alcohol remains the most prevalent substance of abuse, contributing to death. State public health officials say that double the number of people died last year from alcohol-related causes as opioids or meth combined. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Tonight is senior night at Unalaska's high school. The open house will start with presentations on college applications, scholarships, military service, and more. It'll also include a question and answer session for seniors and their families. School officials are encouraging all 12th graders to attend with at least one parent or guardian. Senior night starts tonight at 6 o'clock at the high school. And looking ahead, providers from Alaska's Breast Cancer Detection Center are visiting the island this week. They're offering mammograms and other screenings at Illilook Family and Health Services tomorrow and on Wednesday. While interested, Unalaskans must have a healthcare professional's referral. The Breast Cancer Detection Center will provide screenings regardless of ability to pay. You can call the center at 479-3909 for more information. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.